This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise. After nearly a decade of what seemed like irreparable damage to the United States' reputation, many people around the globe have begun to look toward the U.S. with hope and optimism again. My t-shirt from Cambodia with Barack Obama's face and Khmer writing is a reminder that there are people around the world who are once again inspired by U.S. leadership. On climate change, however, the U.S. has generally shown a striking lack of leadership. Disillusioned with a lack of progress, in 2006, California struck out on its own and began a bid to reverse this trend with a law that aggressively tackles the climate crisis. As the world's eighth largest economy, when California takes action like this, it can be globally relevant. But now that law is under attack. This November, Californians will vote on Proposition 23, a ballot initiative designed to reverse the progress made under California's 2006 climate law. This week on Sea Change Radio, we take an in-depth look at California's Proposition 23, including some of the activists and legislators who have organized to block its passage. My guest today on Sea Change Radio is Margot Roosevelt. She's a reporter for the LA Times. Margot, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
You've written extensively about California's Prop 23 over the last couple months. Can you tell our listeners around the country what Prop 23 is and why it's important for everybody?
Proposition 23 is a ballot initiative in California to overturn the state's 2006 climate change law. California was the first state in the country and still actually remains the only state in the country to pass a comprehensive economy-wide law to cut down the emissions of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and other emissions from burning fossil fuels are heating up the planet. The California legislation covers industry and automobiles and land use and everything that you can imagine contributes to climate change. Since Congress this year decided not to push forward with any climate change, California's law is really the focus of attention around the country.
And this is AB 32 from 2006, is that right?
Exactly right. AB 32 would cut back the state's emissions to 1990 levels by the end of this decade. That amounts to about a 15% cut over today's emissions, and it would do so with the cap and trade program on industry, and it pushed the Obama administration into slashing emissions from tailpipes of cars, and it controls the carbon content of gasoline. Now, that last item, what they call the low carbon fuel standard, which is one of the regulations under the California law, that is what has prompted refineries across the country to sponsor a ballot initiative in California to overturn this law.
Let's look at the Proposition 23 talking points. They're saying it'll save Californians money in the short term and also create jobs, right? Can you explain the logic behind that?
When you change the sorts of energy that you use, you inevitably have winners and losers. So the regulations are designed to promote alternative energy like solar and wind and low carbon alternative fuels. By doing that, you would disfavor fossil fuel, certain types of fossil fuels. You would inevitably lose some jobs in some areas and gain jobs in other areas. So the industries behind this proposition fear that in their own particular industries, like refineries, that and some heavy industries, that they would be losing jobs. And the advocates of the AB 32 climate change law and the opponents of Proposition 23 say that the future of jobs in the state is in clean energy enterprise and in startup companies with innovation for innovative solutions to the fuel and energy issues. Like, there's a host of companies in California that are promoting, that are researching and commercializing fuel made from algae. And those companies depend on there being a market for their kind of fuel. So that's what AB 32 aimed to create, was a market for cleaner fuels and cleaner sources of energy.
My guest is Margot Roosevelt from the LA Times on Sea Change Radio. Have you seen any polling on Prop 23, Margot, and do you think it's going to pass?
Well, the polls show that Prop 23 is behind at the moment. Those are the public polls, but from what I hear, the private polls show that it's pretty close. So we don't know.
First, if you can explain a little bit more about how the language was changed in the bill and if you think that's going to affect how it, voters actually vote on it.
Yeah, see, when you look at your ballot for an initiative, there's a summary, a title and a summary. And a lot of people don't know that much about the initiatives going to the polls, and they read the title and summary and they make up their mind on the spot. So the way the initiative is described is very important, you know, in a close election. And the title and summary are written by the Attorney General's office. So that means they were written by Jerry Brown. And Jerry Brown, being an opponent of the measure, he wrote a title and summary which prominently featured the fact that this measure would allow polluters to continue polluting. And in the measures, backers took the Attorney General to court and managed to take out a few words here and there in the ballot initiative that made the language a bit more positive for the initiative. And yes, that could affect some votes. So that could narrow the margin.
Well, Margot Roosevelt, reporter for the LA Times, thank you for being on Sea Change Radio with us.
Great. Thanks so much. And hope you'll continue to read us and read our blog, which is latimes.com/greenspace.
Drinking and gambling, staying out all night, living in a fool paradise, living in a fool's paradise.
Our next guest on Sea Change Radio is California Assemblyman Tom Amiano. He's a longtime politician from San Francisco. He served for 14 years as a supervisor, and he was a teacher before that and a stand-up comic as well. Tom Amiano, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Okay.
So Prop 23, you see the everyday machinations in the House.
Yeah.
What is the feeling about this? Is this a small group of people who are backed by much bigger interests like the Koch brothers and,
yes,
and Tesoro and Valero, who are then using this to try
exactly
to protect their interest?
Exactly.
Or is it actually people who truly believe that this is going to protect jobs?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. There's always flim-flam involved in self-interest, particularly economic self-interest. So, you know, it's the oil companies particularly. And then the business community feeling that you know, this will be good if Prop 23 passes, then that'll be good for business. But see, there's other business people who say quite the opposite. And the fact that a lot of the money in support of Prop 23, which we don't like, is coming from out of state. And so, you know, to me, it predicts a confusion on the in the voter's mind a little, and that usually predicts a loss.
Yeah, I mean, clean energy jobs are growing at a rate 10 times the California average, and yet we hear that the talking points from the Yes on 23 that this will be a huge job suck and that all these big energy interests that create jobs will then go to Nevada or
yeah,
neighboring.
Yeah, that's Mr. Logue's mantra. You always leave. I don't know.
Do you want to tell our listeners who Mr. Logue is?
Yes, Dan Logue is the author of 23. Yeah, he. I always say, if we're up to you, everything that we do would result in people leaving California. But one of the things that California needs the most and what attracts businesses the most is not only environmental sustainability, but public education. And so you're taking, you know, all the money away or, you know, at least impacting it by coming up with laws like this or initiatives like 23. And you're not going to have a world-class education and business isn't going to come here. You know, there's a big attack on CEQA.
What's that?
California Environment Quality, something I should know. But anyway, the right wing and the conservatives are always after CEQA, and they're always looking for exemptions to CEQA, et cetera, and so forth. The attack on 32, which is the good environmental law, by Prop 23, is tethered to that, too, that, you know, there would be more and more attempts to water down CEQA laws, things like that, so that large-scale developments can just happen unbridled and doesn't matter, you know, if there's any damage to the ecosystem or if their green gas emissions are high. You know, all that would we're just beginning to get a handle on. I think the repeal of 32, which is what 23 basically wants to do, also has to come up against a more unified environmental community. It's kind of messing with the Holy Grail type thing. So I think people have actually put aside their differences.
Well, disagree or agree with your policies, you stand up for what you believe in, and that's quite refreshing and unusual in today's political climate. Well, Assemblyman Tom Amiano, thank you for your time on Sea Change Radio.
Okay.
Older and wiser now, and I'm never gonna fall for that old, never gonna fall for that old fairy tale anymore, 'cause I've been schooled before, and 'cause I'm
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. Our next guest is Steve Maviglio, who is the spokesperson for the No on California's Proposition 23 campaign. He formerly was deputy chief of staff for Fabian Nunez, who was the sponsor of the Assembly Bill 32 in California, the climate bill in 2006. Steve, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
What was the genesis of AB 32? I mean, it was a pretty landmark bipartisan bill. How did it come about, since you were kind of on the inside of the whole process? Maybe you could tell our listeners how it all kind of came about.
Yeah, it was sort of the perfect storm for people that cared about clean energy and air and our future economy in the state to get together and craft legislation that would steer California in a direction that we could be a leader in the new economy, taking advantage of our vast renewable resources in our state, mainly the sun and the wind. And at the same time, with the benefit of renewable energy, reducing our air pollution and greenhouse gases. So the bill was crafted over a long period of time. Speaker Nunez picked it up after several years of it lingering and fashioned a compromise. And one of the things in the bill was it allowed the governor to say, if economic conditions persist that would make the implementation of this bill unwise, the governor alone could put a hold on it, which is one more thing why Prop 23 is totally unnecessary, because if indeed there was any linkage between the regulations and the economy, the governor has the power to stop it at any time. This governor has been smart enough to see that it's been a job generator and that Prop 23 would be a job killer. So he's not moved forward with that. But, you know, the bill was a compromise between business groups, environmental groups. The proposition has not been a traditional business versus environmental battle. On our side, we have companies like Google, eBay, some of the largest employers in the state, waste management. We have the Sacramento Chamber of Commerce. We have the Inland Valley Empire Chamber of Commerce as well. The California Chamber of Commerce, which is really the 600-pound political gorilla in the business world, is not supporting Prop 23. So it's very interesting to see even Chevron and Shell are not supporting Prop 23. So it's very interesting the way this battle is defined against these two Texas oil companies who are rogue players in their own industry trying to force us down. This is Valero and Tesoro.
And what are they all about? They're not usually the... When we think of big oil, those are not usually the brand names that rolls off of one's tongue. Can you give our listeners a little bit more?
Yeah, they're refiners. They have some retail outlets in states like California, Alaska, and Hawaii. But they're mainly refiners, the second largest refiners in the country. They're also two of the top 10 polluters in California and two of the top 100 polluters in the United States. And those things are not mutually exclusive. Since the last 10 years have gone by, they've exported $9 billion of California's profits and taking them from our state to Texas. So their motivation is pretty clear. They're all about it, the money.
Well, usually when we hear about big oil, we think of that as a consolidated voice, but that's interesting that there's some fragmentation within the oil industry as well.
Yeah, like companies like Chevron and Shell, which are not known for their environmental credentials either, realize it's better to work for implementation of this law in a long range, other than having a lot of local jurisdictions also coming up with their own laws, so they'd have to comply to a lot of different regional and citywide regulations. Plus, you know, they were part of the coalition that put this together to know that this law actually will work, and it's not something extreme and radical. But what is extreme and radical is Prop 23, because it would really undo the progress we're making in California in energy and put a lot of jobs at risk.
So it sounds like there's a lot of behind-the-scenes players from the oil and gas industry. There's been an influx of cash from the Koch brothers as well. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Koch Industries and what they're all about?
Yeah, Koch, which is spelled K-O-C-H in case you ever see it in print. They are a massive organization. In fact, they're bigger than AT&T, Microsoft, and some of the companies that you and I know about. They are coal and coal companies throughout the United States.
It's also the second largest privately held company in the country, right?
Yeah, and they are extremely conservative. They've given tons of money to the Tea Party. They're rated on dirtyenergymoney.com as the number one energy company to fight environmental and clean air measures around the country. They're two of the top 10 polluters in the United States as the different subsidiaries of that company. So they've come to play in California. Their reasoning, according to the newspaper, is that they'd like to contain and kill this law in California before other states are smart enough to catch on, to give them a run for their money competitively with coal. By using solar and renewables. And also, it'll cost them millions of dollars to clean up their dirty pollution. And again, they'd rather spend the money trying to hoodwink voters than cleaning up their pollution.
I was born by a river, old man, in this little old town, just like this river. I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change has gotta come now. Ooh, yes it is.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. My guest is Steve Maviglio. Let's hear some of the talking points from the people who've put forth the Prop 23.
Well, they're pretty, you know, typical of what you might expect for somebody who's trying to prey on the fears of voters in a time when there's a lot of fear out there and anxiety about the economy. So they commissioned a study, which they paid for, and found two professors that came up with some ridiculous numbers that said more than 1 million jobs would be lost and that it would cost each family about $5,000 for this law. Now, when any credible economists look at this law, they picked it apart, including economists from Stanford, UCLA, and Tufts, and found that, well, not so accurate in terms of their projections. And it became so bad that the two authors of the study have walked away from the study and said they're not getting involved in this campaign. So that says a lot, I think. You know, they're trying to pray. They've brought in some truckers to press conferences to say that this is going to hurt the trucking industry, when in fact there is nothing, absolutely nothing, in the law that has anything to do with diesel regulations. It's completely separate.
And Assemblyman Dan Logue is the author of Prop 23. Who is Dan Logue?
Dan Logue is a freshman legislator from North Central California, sort of a backbencher in the legislature. He has a 0% rating from the California League of Conservation Voters, and he has decided the way he wants to see his name in lights is by being the poster boy for this proposition. He's taken thousands and thousands of dollars of oil company money for his campaigns and is going around the state with these same scenarios of doom and gloom.
Where else is the money coming from, Steve?
Well, there's one mysterious donation to the Yes campaign. It's from something called the Adam Smith Foundation, which is based in Missouri. Last year, that foundation had total revenues of $109, yet somehow it found $500,000 to donate to the Yes campaign. So somebody's laundering money through somewhere, but again, it's yet another example of mystery money from out of state trying to capture the attention of California voters and fool them into voting for something that will hurt our economy, which is Prop 23.
My guest on Sea Change Radio, Steve Maviglio. He's the spokesperson for the No on 23 campaign. Who's behind the No on 23 campaign, Steve?
Well, we are in a coalition of Californians, mainly.
And no Texas oil.
We have no Texas oil money. We have support of companies like Google. We have Meg Whitman's company, eBay, on our side.
She's, by the way, you mentioned that eBay is for this, but the former chairman, chairperson, CEO of eBay, who's now the Republican nominee for governor in California, has not taken a position yet on it. Is that correct?
She has said that she's likely to vote no on Prop 23 because she thinks it's too radical. She has other thoughts about the law to change it, but she is wise enough to see that this Prop 23 is so radical that even a Republican candidate for governor of California is not supporting it. By the way, according to the last poll, 2/3 of Californians, according to the PPIC, support the law. So the oil companies have a tough road to hoe, but they have deep pockets to hopefully overcome.
And when you say, just to clarify, when you say support the law, that's the law that's already in place, AB 32 from 2006.
Yeah, and I really hope, you know, people don't get confused because you've got the 23 and 32, and if you support the law, you're actually voting no. So I think that oil companies deliberately try to make some confusion about that. So it's no on 23.
It's also, when you think of California's economy being the eighth largest in the world, that's not just a United States issue. It's a global issue.
Yeah, and you know, our opponents say, well, California, you shouldn't go at this alone, especially in this economic time. But you know, I couldn't disagree more. You know, every journey starts with a first step, and being first, as we've been with energy efficient appliances, building standards, and cars, has really given our state a leg up over other states and other countries in creating jobs. I mean, there's a reason that we're number one in the country on solar energy, and it's this law. And that's why the Texas oil companies want to crush it.
I've read that the clean energy sector of the California economy is the job growth is 10 times the state average.
Exactly. And this is during a recession, mind you. So imagine when there's more money to be freed in capital markets to really invest in some of these new companies and startups up and down the state. I think you'll see a giant explosion. This is why some of these studies that predict, you know, job loss 10 years down the road, you know, typewriter jobs were lost when computers came along, but I think ultimately most people recognize it's a better thing to have a computer than a typewriter. We've got the oil industry being the typewriter industry. The solar renewable energy industry is the computer industry. And not only that cost issue, you've got the cost of reduced air pollution, the cost of medical costs and asthma, low productivity from workers because of more air pollution that's going to come when there's millions more tons of air pollution in the law if Prop 23 passes. So it's more important ever than to defeat Prop 23.
I read a quote from Dan Logue in a pretty obscure newspaper that said, we have the fifth cleanest air in the country already, so why should we be leading the way? And I mentioned that to a previous guest on this issue from the LA Times, and she said, first of all, that's not true. We have some of the dirtiest air in the country.
Right.
In
American
California.
Lung Association just put out another survey. It said Los Angeles is the most polluted city in America still.
So are people like Mr. Logue just ill-informed, or is he just blatantly lying, do you think?
Well, you know, I think he is of the school that you can't have a strong economy and a clean environment. Most Californians don't think that way. We have seen repeatedly that we can have both. It's not sacrificing one for the other. And the booming clean tech industry is another example of how leading the country has resulted in more economic activity and lower pollution.
And if people feel passionately about this issue, beyond just voting no on 23, what else can they do to help?
Well, we have a couple things going on. Obviously, we have a webpage that's very interactive. It's stopdirtyenergyprop.com.
And are people from other states
welcome to use it? We have a Facebook page, and no matter where you are in the United States or anywhere in the world, I'm sure you have a friend in California, so use Facebook and Twitter to let your friends know about no on Prop 23. We also have a program called 10,000 Leaders, where we're asking people in the community to become a leader in this fight against Prop 23, and it gets them involved. We have everything from protests at Valero stations to email programs where people can send things, letters to the editor, all that kind of grassroots support. We're relying very heavily on a grassroots campaign to fight the oil companies.
Stephen Maviglio of the No on 23 campaign, we really appreciate you being a guest on Sea Change Radio, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And again, it's No on Prop 23, the website stopdirtyenergyprop.com.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. Next, let's hear from Janet Stromberg of Democracy for America to find out what people can do to get involved in the No on 23 campaign.
We are actually sending our volunteers to campaigns that we think are exciting and that they will enjoy working on and that will be meaningful and successful. So two that we've zeroed in on, one is called Communities Against Proposition 23. Communities Against Proposition 23 is a coalition, statewide coalition, started by the Ella Baker Center in Oakland, which is the group that Van Jones created. The Communities United Against Proposition 23 has made a commitment to the larger umbrella organization for No on 23 to get 300,000 extra no votes, and they're going after people who would not be expected to vote in this election. They're going after low-income communities. They're going after people of color. They've identified 9 counties they're going to work in, one of which is Alameda County. So we're going to send our volunteers, encourage our volunteers to go work with Communities United opposed to Prop 23. People that would like to work in low-income communities and can go to ellabakercenter.org. It's ellabakercenter.org, and get hooked up that way. Just look for the No on 23 link.
And are there some other ways that people can get involved, Janet?
Yes, absolutely. There's a group called Credo Action that's actually opening 5 headquarters throughout California. And one of them happens to be in Berkeley, and they are holding visibility events on a regular basis, and they also have phone banks. So for people that enjoy contacting voters by phone, this is a great way to get involved. And one thing we need to get going right now, because the absentee ballots, the vote-by-mail ballots are going to be mailed in early October. So a lot of Californians don't know nobody knows what Proposition 23 is. Even my brother doesn't know. He was over for dinner last night. He had no idea what it was. So we've got to tell the voters about it and get them out there to vote in an election when people are, frankly, a bit discouraged on our side. So Proposition 23 in California is actually a big motivator for activists. And we think if the voters understand what's at stake, it'll be a big motivator for them, too.
Well, what you're doing is very important, and we appreciate you being on Sea Change Radio with us.
Thank you very much, Alex.
That's Democracy for America's Janet Stromberg. You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Cat Power, Charles Brown, Ron Sexsmith, and Otis Redding. Special thanks to Kuva Coffee, Bounty Growing System, and 100 Watt Network. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. and tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.